there.
Welcome to Liquidity and Liquor. This is Yosef Martin with Scott D. Cleary.
All right.
Scott, we're going to do some news.
We're doing business news stories of the week, not diving too deep into them. Roblox is killing it. So their bookings increased 17% year over year to $899.4 million. The average monthly number of people buying virtual goods on Roblox reached an all-time high of 13.4 million with an average spend of $22.31 per user. And then last year, interesting, Roblox said that 58% of their Gen Z population considered a career as a digital fashion designer to be just as or more impressive than a real life fashion designer.
This is the real NFT that you guys needed to buy, guys. This is it. And the reason I said that, it's because my son and all his, and he's 8 years old with all his friends, they're addicted to it. So it's not going to go anywhere. Roblox is,
is your son addicted to it?
Listen, if we're not going to go and put limit of 1 hour a day, he's going to be on it all day. The way they do it is they sit on they have a Discord.
Yeah.
And they talk to each other. And by the way, do you know how 8 year olds talk to each other?
I have no idea.
Okay, let me tell you. He calls his friend. So my son's name is Jericho. So his friend picks up. Yeah, Jericho, what do you want? I want to play. Wait, mom, Jericho wants to play. No, you have to do this and that. Can't. And he just my son hang up on him, call someone else. What, Jericho? I want to play. Oh, okay. And then my son was like, you know, I just had diarrhea. Anyway, that's an 8-year-old conversation, straight to the point. There is no social obligation for nothing. How are you? Nothing like that. They go, they play all day. And and all they're going to talk about is, I have the rarity of this, I have the rarity of that. This is the real trade commodity. This is the NFT you guys should have been buying all along. And then you went and you bought, what did they buy? Bored Apes.
Bored Apes,
yeah. Yeah, good luck with that one. All right, so that was my opinion about that.
All right, next story, virtual influencers. So the company behind, like, a couple points. Virtual influencers, if you don't know what they are, they're basically fake people that have huge followings. So there's Lil Miquela. She's a virtual.
That was the first one.
Yeah, she has 2.8 million followers.
It's a digital image that looks just like a human being, and they made it an account that actually generates revenue from sponsorships, but it's not a real account. It's not a real human.
So another one, Brud, raised $25 million at $144 million valuation. They were acquired by the NFT startup Dapper Labs. Amazon's Alexa Fund has led a $20 million funding round for Superplastic. And Amazon Studios, that's another digital influencer creator company. So Superplastic just received $20 million. Amazon Studios and Superplastic will produce an animated comedy series starring virtual influencers.
This is different than the original influencers.
It is, but it's growing.
Because 120 million is, I wonder why are they considering it so
20
high?
Million, 20 million.
No, but they raised 20 million on 120 something valuation. It's like, why do you think the valuation is so high? Because influencers, you know what, they'll make a million or two a year at best. And in some cases, unless you're using it for maybe OnlyFans and you're going to make a digital image. I don't know exactly unless what else you're going to use
so
it for.
I mean,
it's a trademark, right? And you can own it, and it's something that can be in movies and animated movies. And
they don't get involved in scandals. They don't get canceled.
No, it's definitely the easiest way around, right? You can control this. You can do whatever you want. And it's interesting.
It's very interesting. Yeah. And there's probably going to be AI influencers too, and is going to be all of this is going to, it's very interesting. What is safe from AI?
Everything you do in life eventually has politics, and there's going to be a newer and better. So if you're an influencer today, that's one of your competitors.
Yeah. Very interesting, maybe slightly concerning story. Mental health data is being auctioned off. So a new study from Duke University found that data brokers, so companies that collect and sell personal information, have access to personal mental health data from apps. Why is this legal? It's because that HIPAA, the law that restricts how doctors and hospitals share Americans' health data, doesn't protect health information held elsewhere, like in apps like Calm.
So they go and they collect, Calm, they go to collect your information, and just like anything else, they can share the data.
Yeah, that's scary. So 37 data brokers were contacted in this study, and 11 of them actually agreed to provide bulk data sets with prices ranging from $275.
So if I don't like
$275.
If I don't like you tomorrow, I go on cam.com. I say that my email, I give them your email. I say, my name is Scott DeClary. I have some serious mental issue. I want to kill people and so on. And I'm selling that data, and then you're going to get bombarded. And then eventually people would go and associate you with a psycho.
This is a classic case of regulatory not keeping up with technology. So HIPAA.
Classic.
HIPAA has to keep up with technology because I don't see any world where this is ethical or good or moral. What else is happening? YouTube CEO Susan Wojcicki, I hope I pronounced that right. She just stepped
down.
You
don't know her name?
I don't know how to pronounce her
last
name.
Me neither. Where the fuck is she?
So she was part of Google's founding team, employee number 16, rented her garage to Larry Page and Sergey Brin. She's done obviously a lot.
I don't have anything to say about this because I've never heard of her. So, but whatever she did an amazing job because Google got saved by the bell when they bought
YouTube.
Yeah. That was the only way for them to keep in
It's really interesting. Like, I mean, how some C-suite, some executives completely stayed out of the spotlight.
Look, I mean, the first team was amazing. I mean, Google was they came after they grew after the dot-com crash.
Yeah.
So they were very lean for so long, and they knew what they were doing. And the top people were amazing. One of the main people that they had, his name was Matt Katz. And his job is, I think it was employee number 6. And he was making sure that the people are not going to spam the results with spammy content, and just extremely intelligent
SEO.
Individual. SEO. And he would always come to our events and he would talk to us at the time when they would actually talk to us. And it was one of those few that came all the way to the top and get paid a lot. And so that's another employee. So
amazing.
Had a good team.
Okay. A couple interesting points because all earnings calls are happening right now. So Shopify had an earnings call. They're killing it. Obviously revenue grew 21%, reaching $5.6 billion. But what's interesting about Shopify is that they've realized, and it's not really that surprising, but in a big way, customers are moving back to shopping in stores. So there was a 25% increase in offline gross merchandising volume in Q4 of 2022. So that's a big number.
Interesting.
I'm surprised actually at the number that more people didn't stay online post-COVID.
That's interesting. Maybe there was still that itch to go out after the lockdowns.
I'm not sure.
Perhaps.
2022 merchants also had their most successful Black Friday, Cyber Monday selling period ever, generating $7.5 billion in sales in one weekend.
Wow.
Pretty good.
I feel like there'll be a correction for that next year.
There will be for sure.
There'll be a correction.
By the way, Shopify is actually focused on brick and mortar now, on point of sale solutions for merchants, brick and mortar.
Interesting.
They're following market trends.
Okay.
So they're trying to capture momentum in brick and mortar.
I feel like there was a correction for everything. Nothing stays like this.
No.
I feel like it is going to go more and more digital. I buy more online. Just people probably like to go out a little bit more. COVID, 2 years of COVID made them want to stay a
Everyone's
little bit more than
up
just
at home.
Okay, but what do you have? You have the second part of 2021 when things started opening up somewhere, and then you had 2022. Correction is going to come this year.
All right. Other stories. Elon forced his tweets to the top of users' feeds on Twitter. So
you buy it, you own it, you do whatever the fuck you want.
Basically, his tweets weren't getting enough exposure.
He paid enough to allow himself to do whatever he wants now. So
I think that's actually...
He paid enough. He paid enough for
fair.
That. Yes,
paid a lot for it.
Yes.
Goldman Sachs, David Solomon, their CEO, he took a 29% pay cut. And Goldman Sachs has lost a lot of money. They've lost $3 billion since 2020 in commercial banking. Obviously... His salary is still $25 million.
Did they break down the why?
Why they cut?
No. Why did they lose
a lot?
A lot of reasons. Okay.
A lot of reasons why. Okay. I mean, there's market trends. I think that what's interesting is when you slash Goldman Sachs CEO salary, it's because there's a little bit of virtue signaling. So they're trying to show that they're aware of market conditions. Because realistically, David Solomon is going, he's getting his salary cut by, what, 30% down to $25 million. Is that going to bankrupt David Solomon? No.
Well, no, but let's ask ourselves, why is Goldman Sachs losing money? Not losing money, but lost growth. And
They say that it's slowing economy. They
So most of their money, I would assume, come when they're actually investment bankers and in money management. So now, what if you look at the last, I would say, decade?
Yeah.
Morgan Stanley
Chase, also cut CEO salary Chase. Last year.
Well, Chase, they all came down and started going after investment banking, but more prestigious deals at the time. Only Goldman Sachs would be the one. If you wanted to go public and you're a serious company or you wanted to have an exit, it had to be Goldman Sachs representing you unless you're nobody. Today, you can absolutely have Morgan Chase, JP Morgan Chase. You can have
Morgan Stanley.
You can have other players. You can have boutique. You can have
more
Jefferies.
Competition in the market.
Yeah, you can have boutique. Yes, in more competition. So they're not taking 80% of the cake. They're taking less. Plus, what do you do when it's a bear market? You're gonna have less exits. Less. You know, they're making tons of money from going public. How many companies went public in 2022? After it went down, not too many.
Yeah.
Right. So that's just once they have a bull market, they're gonna go back up a little bit.
Just another interesting data point. CEOs still made on average 399 times more than the average worker in 2021, 2022.
Well, does the average worker manage that type of wealth and responsibility?
Just saying the stats.
Yes,
man.
This is stats of...
I know. Well, this is why I bring this shit
do
up.
Do what he does and see how much you're going to get paid. Like, would I want to go and get an average person to do any of his job, to take any part of his job? No.
No, definitely not. That's a lot of responsibility.
Yeah.
This is interesting. This is whatever. It's business enough. There's going to be men's birth control, which is actually very interesting. So there's a birth control pill for men, which like blocks the sperm protein somehow, kind of like a time-released birth control for men. And the business component is, I'm pretty sure they've already spun up a holding company for the pharmaceutical drug, and they've actually started to get the whole commercial process going already, even though it's not even in market. Mm-hmm. But it's been proven that this pill is effective in mice for up to 2 days.
Look, sounds good to me. So I think you should use it first. Let me know what you think about this. And you let me know about any side effects, and then I'll consider
it. I'm trying to have kids. I don't need this.
Oh, well.
you're single. You need this more than I do, man. Yeah, so they formed a company called Sackle Pharmaceuticals to produce, market, and sale the pill.
Okay.
FTX.
We're going to see a lot of men saying, do not do it. This is and criticized, but then women are not taking anything better. So,
by the way, a lot of anything that screws with your hormones is not generally that healthy for you. You talk about women, birth control, male, anything. Yeah. If it screws with your hormones, it's like not that great for you. It's not natural. And
that's where they get postpartum and depression.
Yeah, it's like there's a lot of really negatives to like a lot of drugs, but that's a whole other conversation. FTX. So FTX wants their money back from all their political donations.
I gotta love those guys.
So
I
they mean, gave.
If you wanted the entertainment.
They donated $93 million. $93 million. Over a third of lawmakers in Congress have some FTX-associated donations on their campaign ledgers, including Nancy Pelosi, Kevin McCarthy, both sides of the aisle. Like, everybody has some FTX money. FTX wants it back. I don't know if they're going
to
get it back.
Do they have any way to collect a donation?
I
mean, they might have some dirt.
Well,
that's
actually,
the only way I can go.
The court can order. The court can order that the money's back, but the thing that they're concerned about.
What if it was spent?
Well, okay, so that's the thing. So FTX is concerned that, and FTX is obviously managed by, there's the CEO now that basically is in charge of Enron, who's in charge of FTX. And I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but he's the one managing all this. Yeah. FTX is concerned that the courts work slower than election cycles. So if election cycles come around, it's going to be spent. And then the courts.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So very interesting. See what happens there. And another, I guess, a classic argument that came from the DigitalOcean shareholders call as well. So DigitalOcean is a cloud computing company. They grew 34% year over year in revenue, but they laid off 200 employees and they authorized a buyback of $500 million in stock. So they spent $1.1 billion in stock buybacks and they authorized an additional $500 million. So people are upset because with the amount of stock buybacks, the amount of money required, they could have kept those 200 people employed for another 20 so years on average. And the reason why they let those 200 people go is because their free cash flow or their FCF, which is basically pure profit, was only growing at 13% when their shareholders mandated that it should be growing at 20%. So this is a tough conversation because it comes down to, as a business leader, you're responsible to who? Usually your shareholders, but also as an ethical dilemma, do you forgo
that? I guess there is more information that's because this is a headline.
It is a headline.
There has to be a little bit more. I mean, when you do a restructuring in your company,
we don't know the performance of the people.
We don't know exactly. We don't know the perform. We don't know the restructuring. But when you lay off people, it can either hurt your business or help your business. Very often, it's going to be stagnant and nothing happens, right? So if it is, it's helping your business, right? Yeah. So it cannot be just the same, because if you fire X amount of people and the revenue stays the same, that means you ended up benefiting the business.
Exactly.
Right?
But so, in theory, if they were doing a great job,
then it's going to hurt the business, right? Yeah. So ultimately, you have to ask yourself for business, is it helping the business or not? That's what you get asked that. If it's not helping the business, now comes the other question. Like, okay, so you took a bad decision for the long term or mid to long term to better the short term for your shareholders. If you're looking at the moral part, listen, I can't speak to that because I don't have all the info. Sometimes you need to do it for the business so you don't have to lay off a lot more people, and
the thing about making decisions like this, they're very complex decisions, and I can guarantee you that a smart person on either end of that argument can make a compelling argument as to why you should or shouldn't. Mm-hmm. So it's never black and white, actually. Yeah, no, it really never is. But that's, yeah. I mean, this is all coming out now because of all the earnings calls. So that's everything that happened in business last week.
Yeah. Did you see PayPal?
What about PayPal?
I don't think they had their earnings call yet, but with PayPal, if you look at their stock.
I didn't see this.
Okay, though. So their stock fall off a cliff. If you buy PayPal today, it's cheaper than what it was.
What
happened? Go and give you the exact numbers, so you don't tell me you don't provide numbers. We're a serious podcast.
What happened to PayPal?
So take a look. I'm gonna.
Oh shit!
Exactly. Oh shit! Whoa. That would be a good. If you look at PayPal, and let's talk about this for a second. So right now it's roughly 74.66, right? $75, right? If you look at PayPal in the last 5 years, all right?
Yeah, I see that right now.
Okay, mine is not uploading, so
I don't know if you can see.
Okay, yes, let me see. Here, I see it. So at the height, it was close to $300, and it went down now to $75. Now, if you have been looking at PayPal, they are growing about 8% a year, 8 to 12% a year. And right now, their PE is 36.78, which is really low compared to what they were before that it was over 100 plus, which comes the question, why was it even so high? Because if they're growing year over year about 10%, 12%, how many years will it actually catch up with the valuation that it was having? Now, at 36, it can still go down. Mm-hmm. It can start going up just for the wrong reasons. But it makes no sense where it made all the way to 300. Made it all the way to 300. Because their growth was never there to begin with. It is not the only payment processor.
So what grew it to 300?
A bull market. Just it's simply a casino, right? There's that casino element in the stock market, and then there is the rational element for everything else. And that's where because you ask yourself, okay, what stocks you want to go after? Now, don't get me wrong, I think casino element will come very, very soon. Once people are going to look at stocks that are start to go up, there's going to be a bull trap and people are going to buy stocks. So it might go high and you might see this as an opportunity now, and you might be right. But overall, as an investor, long-term Warren Buffett style, where you say, I'm investing in the company, there's a reason why I didn't invest in that. Because there's something to say that the fact that there's tons of competition between Stripe, between everybody else, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you have Zelle. When people use Zelle a lot more than I've seen before, they don't use PayPal as much anymore. Just, I felt like a big killer for that is going to be crypto when crypto catch up again, and people are going to pay each other with ETH. So I just don't see the reason that during the time that everything was online and there's so many other options, it still went up so high. And just people need to look at the PE.
That's very smart. Any other stories this week or no?
No.
Okay, good. All right. Okay, that's it for today. If you enjoyed, please subscribe on YouTube. If you enjoyed this podcast, you can download and listen to it wherever you get your podcasts or on liquidityandliquor.com.
American Giant makes great clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, and more right here in the U.S. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.